You are listening to a sermon by Laura Erickson, recorded on Sunday, June 18th, 2023, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia.
The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgrmf.org.
Thanks, Kevin. And happy Father's Day to all of you who are wanting and needing that blessing. So I've called my reflection, and it's not a sermon, I've called it Faces of Joy. And until recently, I never intended to speak about joy. When our world is in travail with waste and want and war, with confusion and climate change crises, with betrayals and batterings of truth, with new tragedies and new tears, who would dare give a reflection on joy? Yet it was two recent separate experiences that led me to explore this topic. The first was at the end of March. The second was at the end of May. And I will weave these experiences into my personal reflections on Faces of Joy, experiences and studies which have drawn me further in. Joy and goodness, beauty and love are echoes of God's intentions. And even though brokenness and the blunt pain of sin and death have invaded God's good design, joy still surfaces. Joy still blesses. Joy still renews our life. Timothy Willard, who I just read yesterday, calls it being drawn to the quake of eternity rattling in our soul, or rattling our soil, our soul. The quake of eternity rattling our soul. It is hard to capture in words what joy is. It has so many faces. It's especially hard when discouragement and weariness are coloring your world. But I do believe that it is into real life that God speaks and blesses us with joy. There's two parts to my reflection today. First, the question, what is joy? And second, touching on four faces of joy. These are by no means the full face of joy, but I call them the joy of innocence, joy entangled, the joy of connections, and the joy of surprise. If we were in person, I would ask you the question, what is joy? And you would call out your phrases and words. And what would you say? Is it happiness? Pleasure, contentment? Is it ecstasy? Is it elusive? Is it all of these things? If we could share experiences and feelings of joy, our stories would be different from each other. Yet, I believe some would overlap. And maybe some of these will surface in our discussion time. Our stories would probably agree that joy includes great pleasure, happiness, gladness, that joy is both a gift and a choice, and that it is often rooted in gratitude and in being awake. It can happen when happiness is associated with an inner purpose, a peace or a meaning in our life. It can be a response to outwardness, to wonder, to the wellness in another, to children, to harmony, to beauty. It happened to me a few weeks ago as we listened to Jason Biasi give a brilliant sermon on Trinity Sunday, as the mystery and majesty and mercy of God were made real again in a new way. Deep joy happens in worship, through music, in text, in good fellowship, and in encouragement. I remember when Hugo, my grandson, one of my grandsons, was five, and his spontaneous, insignificant, insightful observation explained to me Mimi, joy is bigger than happy. Sven, at the age of 80 yesterday, reflected that finding joy is like discovering the aurora borealis in the night. I recognize, too, that joy taps into something larger. So turning to some faces of joy, and I call them the joy of innocence. Well, I've said to you what they are, the joy of innocence first. This joy speaks to the eudaimonia, the Greek word associated with a sense of well-being. It's like the words of an eight-year-old walking with his mother home from school, and he says, "Do you know what's the best feeling ever? It's being excited about nothing. I love that feeling." A seven-year-old close to me said recently, "You can't take away my happiness because I like the way I am." What did Jesus mean when he said, "Except you become like children, you will miss the kingdom of God"? We seasoned, sophisticated adults can have trouble with a child's uncluttered innocence, their openness, their honesty, their trust. Their innocence has a purity of voice, as we heard Laura Sportak share last week, when at breakfast the day after the funeral of his Oma too, five-year-old Jamie reflected out of the blue, "I really liked the funeral yesterday." Laura said that it was his joy in being with family and belonging that made him say this, and yet I wonder too, if it wasn't his joy in participating in the love of God through his Oma that led to his beautiful words. This stage of innocence has perhaps not wrestled yet with the cost of entangled joy. The second phase I call entangled joy, and it taps into my experience at the end of March. It was a wonderful reunion experience of deep joy with family I had not seen for 4 years or more. It was a feasting of fun and food, conversations, explorations, shared stories. And I came home from my visit in Maine joyfully filled. Our communal joy, however, was interrupted a few days later with the hard news of someone in our family revisiting that cancer word. In my sister's inbox that same day came this question, end quote, and this is really the real seed that has led me to this whole exploration. What if joy is not only entangled with pain or suffering or sorrow, but it also emerges from how we care for each other through those things? A dear adopted sister wrote to me that day, "Life's curveballs can carry a heavy load. We will bear these dear ones on angels' wings." And they are being carried as they journey through hard times. Entangled joy speaks to the sometimes complicated layers of joy. Psalm 126 speaks to this. "When Yahweh brought us captives back to Zion, we thought we were dreaming. Our mouths were again filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. There was joy after mourning, laughter after tears, wholeness after brokenness. It's all such an enormous surprise and exhilaration. The gift we did not dare to expect, and yet it happened. From the nations we heard, their God has done great things for them. And yes, we are filled with joy." The Hebrew word for joy is simha, and I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. And it includes gladness, celebration, laughter, music, dancing, singing. And Psalm 126 echoes this. Theirs is a particular kind of weathered joy. But entangled joy comes sometimes in reverse, as in my trip to Maine. Joy had come first, and then the shift. We were asked to put on the work boots of love, stepping up to help with, pray with, the carrying of one another's burdens. Joy comes in the helping. Hope and courage make us stronger together. And think about how joy becomes the fruit of loving the other, of helping the needy, even though it may be joy entangled with hardships. And this is where I think of you people in the food bank every week. Helping, the fruit is joy. The third face of joy is the joy of connection. We have all experienced the joy of connecting with people. Sometimes this is through deep and long friendships. Sometimes it is a brief encounter of profound conversation and understanding. Sometimes it comes through being remembered out of the blue. A lovely example. Last week, Sven and I were having coffee outside, disappointed that this was a year of no poppies. Well, there was one poppy. What happened to their prolific past history, we asked. And the next morning at early breakfast, there was a ping on my phone and a photo on your worship sheet, as well as these simple words. The kiddos thought you would enjoy this morning's photo of poppies in the garden. Just a simple little message. It was certainly a visual joy, but more, it was the joy of connecting. The grandkids were thinking of us as the morning light became a dance of red glory outside of their dining room window. And it made us feel close. Is this perhaps part of God's genius of birthing church and multiplying love? It brings joy to know we are meaningfully connected and not alone. But the joy of connection I want to share with you is the second pivotal experience I had in late May. It happened in my morning reading where overlapping texts can sometimes surprise me. This is not the first time this has happened. They wake me up. They lead me to awe, to pondering, to worship. And it was these texts back to back which so moved me to joy. And I'm going to just read you some highlights again, starting at Psalm 138, which happened just before. I thank you with all my heart. Yahweh, your love is eternal. Don't abandon the works of your hands. You have searched me and you know me. You know if I am standing or sitting. You know my thoughts, whether I walk or lie down, you are watching. In this line, you are intimate with all my ways. A word is not even on my tongue, Yahweh, before you know what it is. Where could I run from your spirit? Where could I flee from your presence? If I say the darkness will hide me and night will be my only light, even darkness won't be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You created my inmost being and stitched me together in my mother's womb. You are intimate with all my ways. And right after that, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Abba is the vine grower, who prunes the fruitful ones to increase their yield. Live on in me, says Jesus, as I do in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself apart from the vine, neither can you bear fruit apart from me. As my Abba has loved me, so have I loved you. Live on in my love. I tell you all this, that my joy may be yours, and your joy may be complete. Love one another as I have loved you. Did you notice how these texts echo each other? how they dovetail with meaning through connectedness. Psalm 139 speaks to being seen by God, to God knowing us inside and out. As I am thinking, moving, despairing, dancing, struggling, hiding, angering, God is intimate with all our ways. This is a relational God connecting with who I am and my character. John 15 speaks of an invitation for us to know God intimately through abiding in Jesus, staying close, connecting to God's character in Jesus. We, the humans, are invited to participate in the life of the divine. This taps into that mystery of which Jason Biasi spoke 2 weeks ago, of the connectedness within the life of the Trinity. So the joy of connectedness came for me in the double overlapping of scriptures, both of them pointing to a life flow that is like the sap of a tree, nourishing and flourishing us. Abide in me, learn from me, the way of love, the fruit of joy. Lastly, the joy of surprise. We cannot predict joy, but we can recognize when it flourishes. Maybe that's one of the hard things about it. Do not be astonished, Jesus says to Nicodemus. You must be born of water and spirit. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses and you hear the sound, but you do not know where it comes or where it goes. We must learn to be open for surprise in how God works. Even though it's Father's Day, I've been thinking a lot about Mary. She surely experienced all these faces of joy, even as she would have experienced the many faces of grief. But in God's goodness, her story ends with the surprise of joy. After her son's death, there was the overwhelming joy of resurrection. After his resurrection, there came his departure from earth. But even this was not the end. Acts 1 tells how Jesus' followers gathered after this in a room upstairs, the men devoted to prayer, but also in their company were some of the women who followed, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. When the day of Pentecost came not long after, could it be that Mary was there too? Receiving anew the Holy Spirit and hearing these words echoed by Peter. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Amen.